Samuel, page 128, it states, we are to choose volunteers with high spiritual and moral backgrounds to deal with our children. And B, adopt safeguards to protect children from physical, emotional, sexual, and spiritual abuse. Let me share some information here with you about child abuse before we go into the scripture. Child abuse is more than bruises and broken bones. While physical abuse might be the most visible sign, other types of abuse, such as emotional abuse or child neglect, also leave deep, long-lasting scars in children. Some signs of child abuse are subtler than others. However, by learning common types of abuse and what you can do, you can make a huge difference in a child's life. The earlier the abused children get help, the greater chance they have to heal from their abuse and not perpetuate the cycle. Learn the signs and symptoms of child abuse and help to break the cycle. Finding out where to get help for the children and their caregivers. Ignoring children's need, putting them in unsupervised, dangerous situation, are making a child feel worthless or stupid are also child abuse. Regardless of the type of child abuse, the result is serious emotional harm. There are also some myths and facts that we need to know. Myth number one, it's only abuse if it is violent. Fact, physical abuse is just one type of child abuse. Neglect and emotional abuse can be just as damaging. And since they are more subtle, others are less likely to intervene. Myth number two, only bad people abuse children. Fact, while it is easy to say that only bad people abuse their children, not all abusers are intentionally harming their children. Many have been victims of abuse themselves and do not know any other way to parent. Others may be struggling with mental health issues or substance abuse problems. Myth number three, child abuse doesn't happen in good families. Fact, child abuse doesn't only happen in poor families or bad neighborhoods. It crosses all racial, economic, and cultural lines. Sometimes families who seem to have it all from the outside are hiding a different story behind the closed doors. Myth number four, most child abusers are strangers. Fact is, while abused by a stranger does happen, most abusers are family members or other close to the family. And myth number five, abused children always grow up to be abuser. The effects of child abuse and neglect. All types of child abuse and neglect leave lasting scars. Some of these scars might be physical, but emotional scarring has long-lasting effects throughout life, damaging a child's sense of self, ability to have healthy relationships, and ability to function at home, at work, and at school. There are several types of child abuse, but the core element that ties them together is the emotional effect on the child. Children need certainty, structure, clear boundaries, and the knowledge that their parents are looking out for their safety. Abused children cannot predict how their parents will act. Their world is unpredictable, frightening, and frightening place with no rules. Whether the abuse is a slap, a harsh comment, stony silence, or not knowing if there will be dinner on the table tonight, the end result is a child that feels unsafe and cared for and alone. Emotional child abuse. Sticks and stone may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you ever heard this? Contrary to this old saying, emotional abuse can severely damage a child's mental health or social development, leaving lifelong psychological scar. Examples of emotional child abuse include constant belittling. You ugly like your black pooper. Shaming and humiliating a child. Calling names and making negative comparison to others. Telling a child he or she is no good, worthless, bad, or a mistake. Frequent yelling, threatening or bullying, ignoring or rejecting a child, punishing the child severely, giving him or her silent treatment, limited physical contact with the child, no hugs, kisses, or other signs of affection, exposing the child to violence or the abuse of others, whether it is abuse of parent, sibling, or even a pet. So, God is depending on us to treat our children well. Amen? As early as in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible reveals Satan's diabolic plan to abuse and destroy the family. My friends, in the context of the family, if Satan cannot get to use the husband, he will use the wife. And if he cannot get to use these two, he will use the children. And if he cannot get to use the children, he will find another family member to bring some crisis or another in the family. One of my favorite Christian authors, in the book Great Controversy, page 585, she says, and I quote, "In the family, Satan is at work." You didn't hear me. "In the family, Satan is at work. His banner waves even in professedly Christian household." End of quote. The same author also states that while men are ignoring Satan's devices, this vigilant foe is upon their track every moment. He is intruding his presence in every department of the household, breaking up families. You know, there are some little children sometimes teachers have to do with them. There's a step situation. Step. And the child is between the devil and the deep blue sea. They don't know where to turn. They would prefer to be with daddy, and sometimes they would prefer to be with mommy. They are confused. Brethren and friends, God's plan is to build the family, while Satan's plan is to tear down the family with crisis after crisis. In Genesis 34, verse 3, it was love at first sight when Prince Shechem saw Dinah. daughter of Jacob. And I think this was a so-called love. Lust. Infatuation. He allowed his infatuation and his sexual passion to violate her privacy. He abused her. He raped her. The truth is that rape is the ultimate violation that destroys its victim. God is expecting us as men to control our sexual urges. And somebody talk to me. And maybe I should include women too. And we should never abuse anyone, an adult or children, male or female. In the text that we have under consideration, the consequences of the impulsive act of Prince Shechem were severe, both to his family and Jacob's family. You read the account there. Dinah was just about 15 years old. Can you imagine? When she was carnally abused by the prince. Carnal abuse is one of the sickness in our land today. You didn't know that? Yes. These tough back men will not allow our little children, our little girls, in their innocency. They will not allow our little girls in their innocency to grow to full maturity before they destroy them physically and emotionally. The prince tried to bribe her brothers in order to cover his tracks. But thank God, these young men rejected the proposal. But their procedure to commit murder was just as wrong, because they have decided that they are going to wipe out the other person's family totally. That was wrong. That too was abuse. Dinah's brother, Simeon and Levi, sought revenge that ended in violence, bloodshed, and further abuse. Genesis 34, 1 to 34. This cruel massacre demonstrated how one sin leads to another, like flames of fire spreading in dry grass. The disgrace that been brought upon one family made widows and orphans of women and children of an entire city. Jacob was filled with horror and grief when he heard what his sons have done. Read the account there. Is it any different today as parents when we watch the news and listen to the radio? When we hear of the beheading of young men and women raped and killed, although they are not our biological sons and daughters, we are hurt deep within. Isn't that true? And while we grieve and mourn about the terrible abuse that is taking place in our land, and we wonder if these guys have mothers. Have you ever thought about that? I want to believe that many of them have mothers. But the question is, where are all the fathers gone? That's the question. It could be that they have gone to a better land to seek a better life for their families and never return, or they are in prison. And so these boys that we call bad boys are rebelling because they need their fathers. So after you get the report, Mr. Smith, there is a work to be done in the homes. Am I right? Yes. All our fathers in church and in Jamaica land we love, God is calling upon all of us to understand the role we play in our children's lives, and that We are to act as responsible fathers. Are you hearing me? You know, I went downtown one day and I saw a lady spanking a child. And I was so hurt because she was really abusing the child. And I pledged in my heart, whether I die or not, if she do it one more time, I'm going to the police station. So she stopped. And I'm saying that sometimes because it's not our children, we're not caring enough. You know, we must understand that if we don't stop it somewhere, the cycle will continue. There are many families in our land who are experiencing many different types of crisis. Spousal abuse. You know, when I counsel people who are planning to get married, I said, listen, you have no right to hit your spouse. I'm talking to the men. Because that woman is not your daughter. And even if she was your daughter, you have no right to. Some women beat men too, you know. And ladies, you have no right to do that either. That's abuse. Gentlemen, these hands, look at them. They were made. Whatever, it depends on the kind of lotion you use. If you use Vaseline intensive care lotion, it is hands that work hard in the days and caress at nights. Not to destroy anybody. Amen. Yes. So there we are to take care of our children and our women folk. Too many persons abuse their folk. There's help for those who are being abused. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your elders. Talk to your counselors. They will guide you. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God desire your family to prosper in every way, socially, economically, and spiritually. Wives, mothers, although your children are important to you, please guard against neglecting your husband. Hello? Treat him well. Kill him with love. It's only a foolish man who would be getting all the TLC in the world, tender loving care, that a wife can give, and then turn around and abuse a woman like that. Something wrong with that head. Head no good, head gone. Husbands, even though the temptation and opportunity to be unfaithful may be great, instead of looking over the fence on the supposed or so-called greener grass, my encouragement to you is to water your own garden. Drink. Proverbs 5:15 says, drink from your own cistern. If we had more faithful men and women in our region and in our world, we would not have the STDs and the HIV epidemic striking the land, destroying so many parents, leaving behind them children to be misused and abused. Regardless of how they become infected with HIV, they need our kindness and sympathy. Jesus reached out to those of his day who were infected with leprosy. So those of us who are called, who call ourselves Christian, we must do likewise. The church must talk about how to prevent HIV, how to minister to those who are infected. The truth is, followers of Jesus can be supportive of sinners without condoning their actions. We must communicate the inseparable principle of Jesus that sinners are welcome here as well as to go and sin no more. And if the church fails to minister to the abused and marginalized, who will communicate God's plan for restoration and hope to them? Jesus died for them too. Amen. Another family crisis in the Bible, Genesis 12, 11 to 13, where Abraham lied to Pharaoh about his wife, that she was his sister. This was a terrible crisis for Pharaoh, a promiscuous man, a don who believed that he should have all the beautiful women in his community. She was to Pharaoh a hot potato. He had to return her to Abraham as quickly as he could. You know, when I was doing this, I started smiling, Elder. And I said, I wish things were like that today, so that a number of our men and women in Jamaica and other places would beat a hasty retreat back to their families. Sometimes we indulge in things that may seem harmless to ourselves and the family, but which really threatens conjugal happiness. For example, pornography, familiarities with opposite sex, as well as same sex. You can't rule out anything these days, you know. Life-threatening habits like abusing alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. Sooner or later, these cause pain and create a crisis in the family. When someone hurts and abuses you or your family members, and you have reported it to the relevant authorities, and punishment is meted out, should this be the end of the story? I'm afraid the answer is no. There's a word that is called forgiveness. The truth is, both the offender and the victim benefit when forgiveness is given by the victim. And sometimes forgiveness is not easy, but with God's help, it becomes possible. This is a major part of our family rebuilding process that we have neglected. Note well, my friends, the victim doesn't need to wait until the offender repents before he or she forgives. I want you to know that. And after we have physically abused people and all of that, we also abuse Christ. You and I, in a sense, are abusers. We have abused Christ because we have sinned against him and hung him on the cross. Yes, he suffered and bled and died for your sins and my sins. But before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. Jacob's family problems cover a great portion of the book of Genesis. There was rivalry between his wives. There was betrayal by his children who sold Jacob, or Joseph rather, his favorite son, to the Ishmaelite traders and told their father that his son was killed by a wild animal. This is abuse from any position you look at it. Satan was constantly working to destroy the family God designed to be a blessing to others. Like some of us, problems that we have today, still working to destroy the family. The call for revival and reformation is important for our families today, the families of the church. The more whatever happened to us, we need to get closer to Jesus. Closer and closer. We need love for each other. As we prepare for the second coming of Jesus, revival and repentance, husbands need to repent. Wives need to repent. Children need to repent. So every parent needs to look through your homes and ask, are there any idols here? Filthy, trashy books or literatures, dangerous amusement, ungodly music and videos. Children live what they learn. I soon finish, just bear with me a little. No, it's lunchtime, past lunchtime. But listen to this point. It entitles, Judge Not. Sorry. We read in the paper and hear on the air of killing and stealing and crime everywhere. We sigh and we say, as we notice the trend, this young generation, where will it all end? But can we be sure that it's their fault alone? That maybe a part of it isn't our own? Are we less guilty who place in their way too many things that lead them astray? Too much money to spend, too much idle time, too many movies of passion and crime, too many books not fit to be read, a diet of evil they have constantly fed. Too many children encouraged to roam by too many parents who won't stay at home. Kids do not make the movie. They do not write the books that paint gay pictures of gangsters and crooks. They do not make the liquor. They do not run the bars. They do not make the laws. They do not buy the cars. They do not peddle drugs that addle the brain. That's all done by older folk, greedy for gain. Somebody hearing me? Delinquent teenagers. Oh, how we condemn the sins of the nation and blame it on them. By the laws of the blameless, the Savior made known. Who is there among us to cast the first stone? For in so many cases, it's sad, but it's true. The little delinquent fit older folk too. Remember, anything that takes first place in your hearts, that's your God. Today, we want to affirm our families, our children. I believe Jesus is coming soon, and he will make all things new. There won't be any more abuse when Jesus comes. Oh, what a day that will be, when there'll be no more family crisis, but new homes, where there'll be no more war, but peace and joy forevermore. We will see Jesus face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. I want to be there. Today, all of us, at some point in our lives, have abused God's love and goodness towards us many times. Families have been in crisis after crisis. And God came through for us. Am I right? Especially during 2011. He delivered us. But we refuse to give him our lives. We refuse to make him Lord of our lives. We report to him in prayer. Our Satan has abused us. And he came to our rescue. The question is, what will you give to him for all that he has done for you in 2011? Would the church stand, please?